Hey folks, in this interview, I'm speaking with Rhett Marley. He's a wedding and destination photographer. We're going to be talking about his workflow, which happens to be on the iPad.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today on the hot seat is Rhett Marley. Like I said in that intro there, he's a wedding photographer. He's a destination wedding photographer. He knows his way around the camera. He knows his way around the wedding business. In fact, he's in the Knot Hall of Fame. So he knows his way around this industry, but he does a lot of his post-processing on an iPad. So that's what intrigued me about this. So Rhett, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Thank you, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. This is great.
Yeah. And I'm excited to talk to you. You and I connected on Twitch. I was kind of lurking in one of your streams, watching you edit photos on an iPad. And you know what I said when I saw that? Blasphemy. What is going on? Give us a little bit of background. First of all, first question would be, what's your origin story? I always ask people what their radioactive spider, story is. How did you become a superhero? How'd you get into this crazy world of taking pictures?
Okay. So it actually started for me. I started out on the yearbook staff of my high school. That was the first time that a camera had been put in my hands. The teacher was like, "Hey, we need someone to take pictures." And at that moment, I was like, "Sure, I'll do it." But I really had no clue what I was doing. But as I began to take pictures in high school, I found a passion for it, fell in love with it. And that's really where it all began. And then when I went to college, I actually applied to be a part of the magazine staff that would go around and take pictures for the magazine for the university I went to. And from there, it really just kind of became a snowball effect, I guess you could say. In college, I was probably one of the few students who had his own DSLR cameras. It was a Canon XTI, so it was nothing fancy, but you got to start somewhere. And so, I was really proud to have my own camera gear in college. And so as my friends began to get engaged, they came to me and were like, "Hey, Rhett, would you be willing to take our engagement photos?" "Sure." And I would just take photos. And that right there is what, I guess, the snowball effect is into what started everything. And so as I began to take more and more of my friends' engagements, it eventually led into weddings. And I was really just doing it for fun. And before I knew it, though, by the time I had graduated from college, I had enough photos to put a portfolio together for a website. And so, I graduated and I was like, okay, well, let's see if we can make something work. And so I put a website together, and then the fun began of trying to figure out how to grow it into a business. And that's probably a whole different rabbit trail, but it did. It eventually grew and grew and grew to where it is today. So,
yeah, that's interesting. Cause I know one of the, when you're starting any business, especially a service-based business, one of the big questions at the beginning is, what do I charge for this? I don't want to charge too much and price myself out of the market. I don't want to charge too little and be considered a commodity or not talented. I don't, do I undercut my competition? Do I go boutique?
Funny story. Yeah. The first photo shoot I ever did, when a couple's like, "I want you to take our engagement photos." "Okay, great. What do you charge?" I had no clue what to charge, and I had never done it before. And I was a poor college student. So I was like, "Hey, how about we go out for some hot dogs afterwards? And that'll be my fee. I'll take care of it." So I actually started out my first photo shoot, they paid me with two hot dogs. So you got to start somewhere though. You got to start somewhere.
Awesome. I hope you kept the receipt and framed it.
No, I should have. I didn't know it was going to grow to where it is today, So doing it for fun.
Let's segue to that. Where is it today? From what I could see from the outside, the website looks nailed. Your work, I've seen you edit your work. You know what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're in the Knot, You're firing on all cylinders right now, right?
Definitely. Yeah. For the past probably like 3 years, I've been averaging about 45 weddings a year. This year is probably more of an anomaly with everything going on, but this year I'm looking at hitting about 35, which is still pretty good. It's just something that started out really slow. And then every year I learn how to make the business better and better. And it's all about the experience too. As a wedding photographer, it's more than just, "Hey, I take great photos, please hire me." You have to market yourself in a way to reach the exact client that you're looking for. And so that's something that I've tried to do with my business as well.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I think, you know, from one fellow entrepreneur to another one, or self-employed person to another one, that's part of the fun, right? I mean, it's like, why do people do Rubik's Cubes? You know, it's not because they're, you know, they get some sort of nutritional, you know, supplement out of it. It's because you enjoy the challenge and figuring it out. Yeah, and that's what this stuff is. It's just a big
Rubik's Cube. Yeah, you know, and I love the rush.
The stakes are higher than if you can't figure out the Rubik's Cube.
Yes. And honestly, that's really is like, I get adrenaline rushes from doing weddings, and I love the, I guess some people, you know, it's, for me, they're like, I love the pressure, the, to know that the wedding ceremony is going on. I have one chance to get it right. And I have to, in my mind, think through all the different scenarios as to what's going on to give the best photo possible and get it right. And I don't know, I look forward to doing stuff like that. So
yeah, but you like,
it's, not,
like
for, it's not for everyone, but
it's not for everyone. You like working without a net, because that's wedding photography, is working without a net. You only get one chance to get it right. And yeah, it could be ugly. Well, let's talk about, let's segue a little bit into post-processing, because that's the purpose of this interview,
right?
Is just your workflow on these things, you know, the
absolutely.
iPad.
Absolutely.
I love this iPad. And I, you know, before we started recording, I told you a little bit about my journey with it. You know, when iPad 1 first came out, when it was announced, we were waiting with bated breath, you know, it's like, oh, this is going to change the world. I need it. Then it showed up and I was like, yeah, it's cool, but it can't print. I can't do this. You know, I still need my MacBook. You know, I thought it was going to replace the MacBook. So I think I think in the beginning I was let down, and I was thinking, yeah, this is never going to be powerful enough to handle my, you know, a content creator's workflow. But then you fast forward to today, you know, people are editing 4K video with apps like LumaFusion.
Right? Yeah.
You know, you're doing weddings on it. People are DJing. People are cutting full music song, you know, on this little slab of glass and aluminum. So from somebody who's making money with this, I wanted to throw it at you.
Absolutely.
You started on traditional computers, right? And then transitioned over to the tablet.
Right.
What are you giving up? Is it better? Is it worse in some areas? Give us the real deal, Rhett.
Is it better?
I would say the world be editing on iPad.
I don't know if I would say it's better. I would say it's different, and it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. For me, it's just what I've been looking for. And you got to understand too, from the beginning, I'm all about trying things new, trying things that are fresh. And whenever they first came out with the iPad Pro and they introduced the Apple Pencil, I had to give it a shot. I was like, what is this? And I tried the Wacom tablets and stuff like that. And it never was for me. Like, I just never could really get the editing down right.
That's me. Yeah.
Okay. So the same way. So yeah, it's not for everyone. But when the iPad Pro came out, I was like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. Let's go. And then it became this very, very long drawn out process of waiting for Adobe to catch up. And because I use Lightroom and Photoshop, and and getting the Lightroom mobile app to the point to where I felt like I could professionally use it. And it was always one of those things that every time they would come out with an update, I would go back to my iPad Pro and I would pull up Lightroom and I would try to edit photos on it. And it would end up being to where I'd want to take the iPad and throw it against the wall. Kind of like, you know, as a lot of people would say, it's like, you can't use that. And sure enough, like as it was starting, no, I would have not recommended it to anyone to use other than, you know, your random person who's using their iPhone and wants to edit photos. And at first that's what I thought they were doing. But every time they came out with an update, it got better and better and better. And then it was probably about a year and a half ago is when I started actually editing on the iPad, doing weddings on the iPad. And it reached a point to where an update happened and I was like, okay, they're ready. I can now sync my photos from Lightroom Classic and go to the cloud and then come down to my iPad. I can edit on my iPad. It'll go back up into the cloud, back onto my computer. And I can just go. We're still not there completely yet. Now, Adobe Lightroom is doing really great. Now, Adobe Photoshop on the iPad, that still has, I think, at least another year or two to go before it gets to the point to where I can go, okay, iPad or Photoshop on the iPad is fantastic. I definitely wouldn't say that yet. But Lightroom, which as a wedding photographer, most of my edits take place in Lightroom. And so, yeah, it's worked out really great for me.
That's really, really cool. So you know, I've as you were talking, I was writing down questions. I got a ton of questions. Sure.
Bring it on, man.
Okay, so the first question is you kind of open the kimono about it a little bit with the workflow and the interoperability between Lightroom Classic on the traditional desktop or laptop computer, and how are you round tripping through the cloud back to the iPad? Go into that a little bit. How does that workflow work?
Okay, so we're definitely not there yet to where the iPad is. You know, they can call it a computer all they want. We're not there yet. Like the file managing system on the Mac is what I need as a professional photographer dumping gigabyte after gigabyte of photos. I need a file system that I can trust. And so the way that I do my editing process from start to finish is, you know, taking the photos after the wedding's over, I'm uploading all my photos onto my Mac, I'm downloading them onto my external hard drive, sending them up to the cloud. So I back up my photos before I do anything. And then what I do is, and actually I start on my Mac. So my process, you're going to notice I go back and forth between working on a Mac to working on an iPad, working on a Mac, working on an iPad. So I'll start on the Mac and I use Photo Mechanic, and I go through Photo Mechanic and select the photos that I want to import into Lightroom. People do it different ways. I prefer to only put the photos in Lightroom that I'm going to edit. So I use Photo Mechanic, select those photos, and then I import them into Lightroom Classic, and I save them as I believe it's called a collection. So it's a synced collection. And what it does is basically, and it does it on its own. I had to set the settings once. And now when I import photos into Lightroom, it automatically knows, hey, I want to be able to edit on my iPad, so I need you to send the photos to the cloud. And so what it does is imports all the photos. What it sends up to the cloud, though, is not the full resolution of the photo. It sends up the smart preview. So I'm not getting the entire full resolution on my iPad, but for the smart preview, it's plenty to be able to edit a photo for what I need. And the beauty of that is when I'm on the go, and this is kind of a side note before we go any further, I can edit anywhere. And I don't even have the cellular version of the iPad. I just have the basic, but I can use my, you know, my iPhone, and I can create a hotspot. And so I'm glad that they only do smart previews, because the smart preview file is so much smaller. Now, if I was hotspotting with my phone and trying to do 35 megabyte files every time I swipe to a different photo, my data plan would be through the roof. So, So I'm actually glad that they just use the smart previews. And I think they thought through that process for the people that want to be able to edit on the go. But yeah, so it goes up into the cloud. I then basically just turn Lightroom on, and I go to the folder that I upload the photos to. And sure enough, it literally takes maybe 2 minutes. It's amazing how quickly they can do it. But once the smart previews load on Lightroom Classic, give it about 2 minutes, the photos are on my iPad. I start at the top one and I'm off. And the whole reason why I'm really into this, it's not to be able to edit on the go and to be able to edit on the iPad. The reason why I do all this is because of this little thing right here. This Apple Pencil is the game changer. And can I kind of segue and explain why I even got into editing with the Apple?
Absolutely. Okay.
So you got to understand, as a wedding photographer, I'm constantly, I mean, editing takes up, in my opinion, it takes up twice as much time to edit the photos as it does to take the photos, if not three times as much. So a lot of my day used to be spent holding my hand on a mouse like this for 8-9 hours a day, like nonstop, just constantly just clicking, 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 moving away, clicking, clicking, clicking. I started to get, I don't know if it's carpal tunnel or not, I didn't actually, you know, go and get it assessed, but my hand was killing me. And I would wake up the next day and I go, here I go again. And I put it right there, and I'm just, it just got to a point to where I also was going, there's got to be some other way that I can edit photos, because I can't keep up with this, and I've got to be able to provide food to put on the table for my family. Yeah. So there's got to be a way that I can edit. I even started looking at sending my photos out to have someone else edit, because it got to the point to where my hand was hurting that much. Stop doing that. And don't recommend that, by the way, but that's another thing. And realize the quality control, you just can't manage it. So we'll just kind of leave that right there. But eventually I came back and I said, you know, well, let's give this iPad a shot. And then they came out with the iPad Pencil 2 and all this kind of stuff. And it was fantastic. So now, instead of holding my hand like this, I'm drawing my hand, it's moving, and I'm not always having to use my hand. I can put it down. I can use my fingers. I can tap on the screen. I can zoom in, zoom out, and my hands are free, and I can edit for hours on end and never have a single issue with my hands. And so,
and it's fun too, right? Right.
It looks
I watched you on Twitch. It looks like you're having a great time editing, and you don't have to be sitting there. Or do you, have like a specific spot, like at your desk where you, that's your kind of flow, you edit there, or can you be, you know, in the kitchen or in the park, or, you know, how does that work?
So let's talk through that too. So that's another aspect of this. So when I edit my photos on my iPad, yes, I will take them other places. Yes, I'll edit them on the go, but it's not just, hey, I did this photo, it looks great. I make sure before I actually send the photos off to the client that I actually come back to my computer. I actually end on Lightroom Classic. So after I've edited everything on the iPad Pro, I'll go back to Lightroom Classic. I've got a color calibrated monitor right here on the wall. And I go back and I start at the very beginning and I go through all the photos again, because my lighting environment is always changing as I edit on the go. And it's great to have that. But at the same time, I need quality control. I need all the photos to look the same. And so I'll go back and I'll use Lightroom Classic, and just to make sure, and usually it's just minor tweaks. Sometimes the exposure is off just a little bit, or the color just needs to be changed just a tad. But because I do that, yes, it gives me the freedom, because I'll do most of the edits on the iPad. I can do it on my couch. I can do it in the car while we're driving somewhere, and not while I'm driving, while someone else is driving. But you know, yeah. I can get a lot done. Going to somewhere and I've got to wait in the parking lot for something, whatever it may be, I can pull my iPad out and edit two or three photos. You know, I know it sounds small, but it adds up over time as the day goes on. And so, you know, I'll do that. But then I just make sure that after I edit all the photos on the iPad, I do go back one more time and I sit still and go, okay, let's look at them all. Let's make sure they're all good. Cool. Let's export. So that's really where I really am using two computers at this point. I've got the iPad, but I'd still rely on my Mac to truly pull it all off from start to finish.
So it's like the iPad allows you to do a really good first draft.
80% of it is done on the iPad. Yeah.
So then the question, I know a lot of pros that are listening to this are going to say, okay, yeah, that sounds great, but how does he manage? And you talked about color and kind of doing the final finish on Lightroom Classic, but on the iPad, how does the color work? You know, are you calibrated on the iPad versus the desktop? Are they different, or does it matter? Like, how do you approach that?
That's a great question. And if you find the answer, please let me know. Because at the moment,
I look at iPads, like even the iPhone, you know, when they introduced that, what was that feature where it will shift the color
to the balance, orange, kind of amber.
Mm-mm. Yeah, based on the screen. I'm like, that's
the horrible. First thing I turn off. I know. Yeah, I know.
It's like horrible for photographers. It's like,
exactly.
You never have a real rendition of your pixels because it's always changing based on what the thing thinks and what you should see.
And you can't recalibrate an iPad. Like, Apple's going to give you what they're going to give you, and that's just it. So, because I've looked through all the settings, and they don't have a way that you can go in and tweak your adjustments. So, it's not like you can put down a spider monkey on top of it and like calibrate it. They're not going to let you do that. So,
maybe a future iPad. You know,
maybe you would think that they would consider the professional photographers that is so important that they need to make sure their photos print the way that they're supposed to print.
Yeah.
But not yet.
One day. When you were talking about the workflow and doing your edits and then going back into Lightroom Classic and, you know, it finishing off there, one of the things that came to my head was like, okay, so I want to understand how the smart preview piece of that works and what the delta is on quality between the edits that you make on the smart previews, which are lower resolution on the mobile device that aren't on the raw file. And then when you go back to the desktop, you have the raw file with those edits that were made on that non-raw file applied to them. Is there a delta? Do you notice a difference between the what you've done on the iPad and then when you finally sit down on Lightroom Classic? Is there a change in, you know, anything?
No. And on my end, I don't notice it, but it's also because in Lightroom Classic, I do the one-to-one smart preview anyways. So even when I'm doing it on Lightroom Classic, I'm still looking at the smart preview. Now I can click and zoom in, and then it goes into the full resolution of the photo. But the way that I do it, I'm all about efficiency. And when I'm doing hundreds of photos from weddings, I need to be quick. And so I prefer smart previews.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. The whole world, it's so scary for me, you know, because I know there's power. you see, like, in those demos with the iPad, they're running these ridiculous games, and it's just mm-hmm. it's a super computer, you know. So I know I know the capability is there. It's just like, you know, I guess to just doing it. Like, if you trap me I'm trapped in Hawaii with just an iPad and my camera, and I have to get work done for an entire week, I think I would do it, right? But you know what? I got a bigger screen on the desktop. I'm gonna go back to the desktop. Sure. I don't know. It's just me. How do you handle storage, Rhett, though? You know, like, the, you know, you got the smart previews going on, mm-hmm. but how does that piece work? You know,
if I could go back, I would have bought a smaller storage of an iPad than what I previously bought. And that's
smaller. Really?
Smaller. Okay. I spent too much money on the iPad because I didn't need all of that storage. The smart previews don't take up a whole lot of data. And so all of my storage is on my Mac. It's on my external hard drives. And then the only thing coming to the iPad is a smart preview. I can look up the numbers for you, but I promise you it's minute. Like, if it's over 20 gigabytes for, you know, I could have probably, I've had, you know, over 5 weddings on an iPad at the same time, and it barely even scratches a dent. And that's where the smart previews come in. And there is a way, by the way, I looked it up one day, you can bypass the smart previews to where they actually upload the raw and then download the raw onto the iPad. Mm-hmm. It's just slower. And when you go to edit, it's not even that much of a difference. And so it's like, okay, just use the smart previews. And so
for your workflow, I can see people that are like,
if you're editing
one off, so you're in Yosemite and you got a great shot of El Capitan, right? And you're like, you know, I want to edit that, give me all the pixels that I capture, because I want to edit that, just that one shot. But if you have 500 shots you're trying to edit, doesn't make.
Yeah. If you're spending 1 minute on each photo for 500 photos, I mean, it's a long time. I'm not in it for the long haul. You know, I'm like, all right, let's go. And if you watch me edit it live, you'll see me. I'm just kind of flipping through photos really quick. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, I have a couple more questions on the iPad stuff. We'll get back to those. But speaking of watching you edit mm-hmm. live, that's how you and I connected. Like I said, on Twitch, me sort of watching you go through your workflow. Can you talk a little bit about your approach to Twitch and you know, versus other photographers out there? And that's coming from a personal place, because I'm currently, you know, as you know, engaging with Twitch, trying to understand the world and how I could add value to it without, you know, feeling out of place. What's your sort of mindset when it comes to Twitch?
Sure. So for me, the reason why I even got into Twitch, you know, I found out about the community of photographers that were there after joining it to begin with. And it's great. Yep. And I love the community, but that's actually not why I started streaming, editing my photos. I actually did it for the experience. You know, as a wedding photographer, I'm competing against, I'm in a market, I'm in the Charleston market, which is the number two wedding destination location in America. A lot of wedding photographers here that I'm competing with. Brides from all over America are flying here to be married. And so I have to up my game any way that I possibly can. And so from start to finish, the way that I do things, it's meticulous. Like, I have a purpose behind why I'm doing it. And so I started streaming actually for my clients and for potential clients. If you go to a website right now, if you scroll down from the homepage at the very bottom, you can see me edit live on my website. And so brides that are interested in coming, you know, wanting to learn more about me or hire me, they'll start watching me on Twitch. They may even comment and say, hey, we're looking into hiring you. Can I ask a question? Sure. And so while I'm editing photos, I'm working with potential clients. And not only that, I'll send out to the bride and groom, and I have it in my contract that kind of just explains, hey, I'm going to be using these photos to promote my business in the future. And so, like, I explain it up front, but after the wedding, when I get ready to actually edit their wedding photos, I'll send them a text or shoot them an email and say, hey, here's a link to my Twitch page. I would love for you to stop by. We had such a great time at your wedding. Why don't you come by and we can chat about your wedding as I edit your photos. And I have the most amazing time. Just not every couple takes me up on the opportunity to do that, but every now and then I'll have a couple that'll sit down with me, and for hours, just sit there and we'll talk about their photos. We'll laugh. We'll have a great time. And, you know, just kind of it's part of the experience, you know, that I'm giving to them. So,
yeah, that is great. I just pulled up your images. These are on your website, marleyphotography.net. Marleyphotography.net is the website. amazing work. I know not all of these were exclusively edited on the iPad, but it doesn't really matter, right? We talked about it. It's like, you know, only other artists that are in your genre care about the paintbrush that you use to get the work, right? I'm imagining your brides are probably over the board, over the moon about, you know, your shots here. So congratulations, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm curious as we step through this. So going back to the idea of editing and kind of doing the hybrid sort of workflow, iPad, you know, with the cloud in there and then Lightroom Classic, talk a little bit about hardware. So you said that you regret buying the size iPad that you purchased. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you're using right now. We know you have Apple Pencil, but what size iPad, how much memory's in it? You know, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I want to say it was the 512. I'm kind of not a numbers guy, but it's whatever the highest iPad Pro to get. That's what I got. But you got to understand what I use my iPad for. I use it to edit photos. That's it. Like, I don't have any other apps floating around on my iPad. I'll use my iPhone for that. Like, I bought the iPad to edit photos on it. And if you're only doing it for that, you really don't need a ton of storage. Now, if you're planning to upload photos to the iPad, well, of course you need a lot of, you know, memory for that, but you got to understand that's not what I'm doing. I have a Mac that I'm already using to put all the photos on. I'm only importing the smart previews. If I would have known that to begin with, it would have changed, you know, the direction of what I would have purchased, but, you know.
Yeah. Do you find yourself using your phone at all? So in this flow in the whole ecosystem, you can edit on the, you know, you can have on the phone, right? If you're standing in line, you know, at the grocery store, do you like whip out the phone and get a little editing done?
I've tried. It's not the same because at the end of the day, you can't use the pencil on the phone, and that's why I use the iPad Pro. And so I'll try to use, you know, I did it actually this past week. I did like 3 photos on the phone, but it'll raise my blood pressure, man. I can't do it. The screen's too small. It's not for me. So
yeah. you know, just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should do a thing.
Exactly.
So that's cool. Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, doing most of your edits within Lightroom, you know, because that's good enough for you.
Right.
You don't necessarily go into Photoshop at all. Have you considered Affinity on the iPad and using that as a sort of?
I have not. And so I guess I didn't really touch on it. I do use Photoshop on the iPad. So, but what I can do with Photoshop on the iPad is very limited. So clone stamping and healing brush, that's about all I can do at the moment on Photoshop on the iPad. But as a wedding photographer, that's just about all I need it for, because I'm doing most of my stuff in Lightroom. But every now and then there's a random person in the background that I need to take out, or, you know, the things that the Photoshop on the iPad can't do at the moment is importing 2 different photos and layers. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm doing a family photo and the dad's eyes are closed, but everyone else's eyes are open. So I'm having to, you know, I would love it for the day that where I can do that on the iPad, but right now I can't. And so I've got to use Photoshop on the desktop to do the layer masks to be able to import a photo of him with his eyes open. So, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder where all this is going, because that's the.
I think it is heading that direction.
It's going there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many toys, right? So you got. Because and I say that, you know, halfway in jest, because there's so, you know, as a photographer, there's cameras and lenses and lights and software and tablets.
Oh, it's overwhelming at times. Yeah.
Yeah. And services and delivery and clients and marketing and accounting and networking. It goes on and on and on and on. Right. So you're finding that the introduction of the iPad into that storm of stuff that you have to do has sort of lifted the weight a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I just, and it's also not only that, we, you know, we're talking about how it's, you know, nice to be able to edit on the iPad. I'm actually faster now at editing on the iPad than I am editing in Lightroom Classic. I didn't really start that way. You know, when you start, you know, you try something new after you've been, you know, I did Lightroom Classic probably for like 8 years before I switched over to the iPad Pro. And so obviously when I first started, I was so slow and I would get frustrated and I would go back to Lightroom Classic. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I need to wait until I can just practice on it. But every time a new wedding would come up, I would go back to the iPad Pro when I was trying to get into it. And eventually it just got to a point where it's like, okay, I can do this. And now it's to the point to where I don't even think about it. My hands are just moving and I'm doing things. And it's so, so fast. And yeah, I love it.
Love it. When you're done with the edit, what happens then? So you bounce back to Lightroom Classic, you get everything finished. Once you have a set of images that are done and you're ready for the client to view them, what do you do?
So after I've edited all the photos, I've exported them. Are you talking about like on the back end, like how do I send the photos to the client? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. What's the flow after you're finished?
Yeah. So after I've finished editing all the photos, you know, I'm doing it on the iPad. When the iPad, every time I swipe to another photo, the previous photo that I just edited is being uploaded back into the cloud and back onto my Mac. And so the second that I finish on the iPad, it's already edited on my Mac. And so I'll go back to my Mac. And obviously, like I said, I go through Lightroom Classic one more time, making sure everything's good. And after that, I'll export the photos. I then go to my website. I've got a client link gallery and I use SmugMug for my photo galleries. And cool. So I'll import all the photos into SmugMug. I'll then, you know, make it password protected and then send the link off to them and go from there.
And that's it. That's it. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah,
that is
cool. Man.
Yeah. It's the future. Obviously it's the future. Yeah. I miss it. I don't know if you said it or not, but are you on the big iPad or the kind of the medium sized iPad that you're doing your edits on?
I tried both. And honestly, I could get by with both. But at the end of the day, I wear glasses. And sometimes I want to be able to edit without glasses. And having the iPad Pro and a bigger screen helps. So you can get by though. If you're looking at the price and you're like, I don't know, I want to try it, but I don't know if I can afford the bigger one. The smaller one still works. But when you have the bigger one, I also have the Magic Keyboard that comes with the iPad. Mm-hmm. And having the bigger screen for that aspect makes a big difference.
So when are you going to ditch? When are you going to ditch the Mac? You know,
The moment that everything can be done on the iPad, I'll be the first to jump ship and do it. I love it that much. Yeah. We're not there yet. And obviously, you know, this is how I make a living. I'm not going to do it until 100% I know it can be done the right way. I really wish that Apple would come out with a better file system on the iPad. It's a start, but I think they still have a ways to go. And so until that's all finalized and I can upload photos on the iPad at a really fast rate, you know, at the moment, I'm just going to kind of hold tight. So
yeah, that's right. Well, you remember iPad 1 didn't even have a file system. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Which I honestly think they should have held off, you know, and just released it when it was a little bit more mature. It was groundbreaking for when they released it, but
right. If
they released what we have now back then it would have just destroyed, you know, concept of computing completely. But yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Well, cool, man. Well, thanks for doing this. This is fantastic. You've inspired me to want to like sit down and play with my little workflow going from the Mac Mini up into the cloud and back down to the iPad. Because my little ecosystem of computers is iPad, a Mac Mini, which I'm on now, and then I have a MacBook Pro for, mm-hmm. you know, when I need to be mobile, but I still need that power, like traveling or whatever.
Right.
So with the ecosystem that you've discussed, you know, I could mm-hmm. do that and edit on any of the machines wherever I am and have an identical library with me all the time. Right.
That's another caveat to this. Uh-oh. I do most of the, no, it's a good point. The next time I upgrade to a Mac, I don't have to upgrade to the most fast, you know, crazy spec'd out Mac because I'm doing all the processing power on the iPad. And so no longer do I need to be dropping $3,000-$4,000 on a computer. I can put it in the iPad, which is a whole lot cheaper. So it's another benefit of doing that.
Yeah. And especially, you know, for people that are just getting into photography and, you know, just obviously for everybody, money is an object and an issue. But if you're just getting in, you're trying to, you know, get people say, get the best glass you can get. So you invest over there. You got to get this mirrorless camera over here. And now you need a computer to process it all. And you got to go get your SmugMug account to share it with. You know, so the stuff can add up. So yeah, if you could take that $4,000, you know, on the Mac side, you know, that $3,500 $4,000 price tag and reduce it to a third.
Absolutely.
And still get great work. Yeah. You know, why not? Yeah,
absolutely.
So, Rhett, if people want to connect with you, they want to follow you, and I'll put all your links in the blog post for this episode. But if they want to follow you on Twitch and watch you work, or hire you to shoot their wedding in the Charleston area, what's a good place for them to go to?
Easiest way, obviously, is my website, marleyphotography.net. You can follow me on Instagram, marleyphotographysc. And then Twitch, my username is marleyphotography. Basically, you type in Marley Photography, and you should be able to find me.
You own the Google. You own the Google for Marley.
For the most part, thankfully, yes.
That's cool, man. Well, congratulations on everything you're working on, and thank you for coming on the show.
Awesome. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
This is Twip.